Good morning, church. I almost went into chapel mode and said, good morning, boys and girls. But I guess that still would have worked. But anyway, good morning, church. Happy Mother's Day to all of those here that fit that bill. And, you know, Matt made mention this morning that, you know, nobody would be here without their mother. You know, then it's not just enough for you to have us. You didn't kill us during childhood. So that's always a blessing too, you know. Of course, in preparation for this, knowing Mother's Day, try to bring something that elevates the status of woman in the biblical sense. And Jesus and the Lord definitely did that. Through their teachings, Old Testament and New Testament, for what the Scriptures say. But I had heard Jeff Fall make mention that I believe he's been preaching for over 30 years, and he has, you know, on Christmas time, he says you could preach any sermon you wanted to preach, and you'd be okay. Groundhog Day, you could preach any sermon you wanted to preach, and it'd be okay. Father's Day, any message you wanted to preach, it'd be okay. And he lists off all these, but he says, you know, he goes, I've got over 30 different Mother's Day sermons, because if you don't preach a Mother's Day sermon on Mother's Day, you will hear about it. Thank you to all you mothers that complain. Anyway. Anyway, right? Hey, if a message from God's word should be enough, right? Amen. But we will do our best to bring that today. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I'll read the text to us, and then I'm going to do a little explaining to this, and maybe some of you will know where I'm going. But John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour is not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were six stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And so they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out and take it to the head waiter. And so they took it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it had came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said, every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This is the beginning of the signs that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And so, I understand, and I hope that you do too, for example, the show Chosen is not all biblically based or Holy Scripture inspired, okay? But if anybody has watched the series, we're only up through like the first couple episodes of season 3. And a phrase that I will reference today that'll become our question of the day is in this text here and in this part of the lesson, and then again later. So if those of you that are farther along than that, if it happens again, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I want to see it for myself. All right? But for those of you that have... But anyway... So the whole event takes place, the wedding feast is going on, and they kind of fill in some of the blanks in the Chosen, and I get that, and I hope that you do too. But I found this one, and this is one of those things, as I did look it up online on how they did this, that this has become a big discussion point in the making of the series is this phrase that we're going to use. And when Jesus, or when Mary comes to Jesus, and she says to him that they have no wine, there's a little bit of a conversation that takes place, and he says, "What does this have to do with us?" And he's like, "My hour has not yet come." And then this is where then the mother says to the servants, as she looks at them, and you can imagine, this mother says, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Now, being that that's the mother of Jesus that's saying that, I just find that to be great advice, right? But as we look at that, and I make that comment, we'll reference that a little bit today, because some people only listen to the mother of Jesus, and so that's a bit problematic. So it uses this phrase that we're going to start off, and we'll talk about it, each one of our points. She says to Jesus, "If not now, then when? If not now, then when?" Kids, it's time to clean your room. We'll do it later. If not now, then when? Right? Maybe we've heard our mother say, "Well, when are you going to do, you know, you going to study for that algebra test? Yeah, I'm going to get to it. Well, if not now, when?" Right? "Going to take out the garbage? Yeah, I'll take it out. Well, if not now, when?" So this is something that we could visualize a mother saying to their children, right? And so as Jesus did this, she says to him, "Well, if not now, when?" In other words, so when are you going to begin this great? Remember all those wonderful things that she took and pondered in her heart? That she does know he's the Messiah? That she does know that he is going to do things that, as Coop shared, and the followers of him, they're going to turn the world upside down? And so she says to him, "If not now, well then, when? When are you going to do this?" And so we almost have to assume, to some degree, that something like that happened, because it just says, "My hour has not yet come." And so then his mom looks at the servants and says, "Whatever he says, do." Because at that juncture, Jesus had just told his mother, what's he going to do? Not now. Not now. But as we know, moms have a way of influencing, or how I always like it in the Chosen, they do call them Emas. They're Ema. Has a way of influencing the children to do things. Now, I'm not saying she's manipulating Jesus by any means, but what it is I think that's a question that's asked in everyone's life. So we spent all this time preparing, right? Your mothers raise you up. They take you to Sunday school. They may even be your Sunday school teachers or something of that degree. They're training you at home. And so then eventually they're asking, you know, when you're 45 years old and still living in your mother's basement, if not now, when? Right? Type of a thing. And so as we look at that, and they're wanting to know, when are you going to accomplish what you were sent to do? When are you going to rise up and do something great with your life? Or when are you just going to grow up and be a functioning part of society? Is the way that some of them may be. But so as we look at this, we do have to kind of fill in the blanks a little bit. And so I hope that you understand that as we look at this phrase, will continue to come up, where that comes up from. So if not now, when? What she's saying is, listen to Jesus. Is that good advice? Right. Amen. Right? Listen to Jesus. I wish we had more mothers in the world today that would say, listen to Jesus. Mary says in verse 5, whatever he says, Do it. So we're going to look at that first thing, whatever he says. So how do you know what Jesus says? How do you know what anybody says? You have to listen. You have to listen. And she's telling them to listen to Jesus. The only way you know what someone said is by paying attention. Right? There are many a classic husband and wife conversations that have gotten men in trouble through the years because we didn't listen to what was said. Amen? Were you listening to what was said? Because we nod in agreement, sure, I'll get to that. And we have no idea what they said. And then it's like, remember you said, I did? What? But she's saying, listen to Jesus. Listening is really a lost art today. Really put yourself into a place to listen to what Jesus or the Word of God is saying. Do we take that time in our life? And I'm not talking about once a week when the preacher's up here or the elders are doing it or the communion meditation. I'm not just talking about that, of giving yourself time to listen to God's Word, but on a daily basis, listen to Jesus, the one who has the greatest advice to give. Listen to him. Listen to his Word. That's what she's saying. Listen to him. Listen to him. So really put yourself into that opportunity. Take time to really focus and to meditate on God's Word. Many times we find ourselves, well, what do we say? I'm just too busy. Oh, I'm just so loaded down. If you had my schedule, right, you would understand, right? Or you're too distracted to meditate and really listen to the Bible. Now, we'll say this. I found it funny. I think it was last Sunday. So Tam's got the Bible app going in the morning, and Dylan comes downstairs. When he comes downstairs, he's got the Bible app on. And I'm like, what in the world? You got an auctioneer on there? And he's got it on higher speed when they talk. And I'm used to the, you know, when it just like them reading it and everything. And he's got like the, and I'm just like, oh my goodness. I said, I can understand you'd get through a whole lot more quicker and things of that nature. But I'm not so sure that I could listen to that. It sounded like those of that grew up in my era. Remember the old Micro Machines guy that did the tongue twisters with the Micro Machines and talking about them? That's what it reminded me of. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how can you cipher that out? And then he comes downstairs again this morning, and I heard it, and I just started laughing. I was just like, how do you even keep up with that? But anyway, but are we really to, and I'm not saying he's not, I don't know. I'm just saying, are we really able to listen and to focus in and meditate on God's words? When she says, whatever he says, do it, you know, those are some powerful and very remarkable words. Because our world would be a whole lot better off if they listened to what Mary had said. For the words that she said were also shared later on in Jesus' ministry. I had never thought about this until I started studying out this week. But this time it would be by his father, and not Joseph, but his father in heaven. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 7, it says, "Then a cloud formed," this is at the transfiguration, "overshadowing them, and a voice came out of heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son. Listen to him.'" So, as I said, we mentioned this. So I listen to Jesus because our Heavenly Father told us so. Some religions listen to Jesus because his mother said to. Think about that. No doubt she gave some good advice, But I'm going to go with the one, as Coop was talking about and concentrating on a little bit this morning, the one that is given by the Father with power and authority. Mary was speaking to her son as a mom. Our Father in heaven was speaking to us as our God. Listen to him. And so I've got a question for you. Are we going to listen to him? If not now, then when? Second thing I want for us to consider here this morning, if not now, then when, is that same verse of verse 5, whatever he says to you, that's the listening part. Now we are to the where she says, now do it. Now do it. Right? Right? I'm sure we probably all tried that on our mother at one time or another. Right? Did you listen to what I said? Did you hear me? Yes, I did. But we didn't do it. We heard them, but we didn't apply it. We didn't make it applicable. We didn't obey. So this points out the importance of not just listening, which we discussed, definitely has its merit. We have to listen. But now what she said is, do it. Do it. Whatever he says, do it. Wouldn't that be so easy? Right, I've been talking with people that are in Bible studies with friends and neighbors and coworkers and everything, and they said, "Well, it's just easy if the people look at the Word of God and say, yep, whatever the Bible says, that's what I'll do." Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? But I've found, and I'm sure as you have as well, we always come up with, "Well, I know the Bible says this, but I know the Bible says this." However, and they always want to add something else different into it. Jesus, in his word, clearly and plainly tells us what we need to do to be obedient to him, to make him happy. Remember, Jesus just isn't a guy, just isn't a prophet. He's not just a great teacher. He is our Lord and our Master, and because of that, then, he wants to become our Savior. So simply, the first one was listen to Jesus. The second one would be obey Jesus. Obey Jesus. So I ask you, if you've got this as an opportunity to do, the opportunity to listen to Jesus, his word, its presentation, teaching and preaching, we see those things. If you're going to listen, if you're not going to listen, if not, then when will you start? So if you start listening, now you comes to the point of obedience. So if you're going to obey and you haven't yet, if not now, then when? When? As I've said, you've probably had some of the same examples, those of you that have been involved in teaching and bringing people to the Lord. I have never had anybody that I've brought up out of the water or been around anybody that says when they come up out of there, you know what, I should have waited till next week. I've never heard anybody say that. You know, it would have been better if I waited till next year. I've never heard anybody say that. You know what I do hear, and I have heard from others, that is, why did I wait? So I'm asking, if not now, then when? Then when? When will you obey Jesus? When will you repent? Right? When will you start that walk with him? If not now, then when? So what I have to do is look at it. It sounds kind of easy, doesn't it? Coop kind of talked about this in Sunday school. Sounds kind of easy. Listen and obey. Listen, hear, take in what's being told, then do it. Then do it. It sounds so easy, but we do have those that are sitting here today that have not done what Jesus has asked them to do. So I'm going to ask you, and you know who you are, if you're here today and you haven't done what Jesus asked you to do, if not now, then when? When? If not now, then when? Why are you going to continue to wait? What benefit is there in waiting? Well, I want to make sure. You know what? I think by you asking that question, you've made sure. Now you're just being spiritually lazy. Or maybe indifferent. I don't know. But Jesus says in this, John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I have commanded you. But you know what? I look out and I see, and maybe there are those out here that have, you know, got it figured out. You've been able to work out your salvation with God in a different way than we find in the Bible, right? That you've got it all, that if the Lord returned today, you could look at him and say, we're good, right? Because you've done it your way. I'm just letting you know that didn't work for Elvis Presley. It didn't work for Frank Sinatra or anybody that sings that song, I did it my way. And it won't work for you either. Listen and obey. So what's keeping you? If not now, then when? Then when will that happen? When's going to be the day to convict you? When's the day that you are going to say, you know what? I'm told to listen to Jesus. You know, when's the day when Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? Do you love him? It's plain, it's simple, it's easy, as Coop said. The problem is Satan wants to make it difficult on us. Well, I'm not sure. I think you are. Well, you need to count the cost. I will give you this. When someone at least says that, at least I know they're thinking. Because we've had those conversations too with someone that says, you know what, I just don't know that I can do. At least they've made it understood. They're not just running from it, and they give you an answer that they know that they are lost until they follow God's word. And they say, I just don't know if I can do that because I've counted the cost. And remember, Jesus says, count the cost if you've got enough soldiers to go to war. Count a cost if you've got enough money to build a house. Count a cost if you can follow him or not. Because it's better not to have followed him, not to have even started, than to start and to fall away. So he does want you to be sure. He doesn't want you to do it just because mom and dad want you to do it, although I'm probably pretty sure they do. They're not just sure because you've got a spouse that wants you to do that, although I'm pretty sure they probably do. But you don't do it just because of them. You do it because you've listened, because God said so, and you're doing what Jesus said because he said so. So if not now, then when? So if you've got that, if you're here and this morning at that point, you've got a Bible that you can write in, put down a date on there for me. That by this time, I'll do it. Because I venture to say that if you put down a date from some future time, you probably won't do it then either. What I'm saying is, if not now, when? And what Mary was saying and what the Lord's saying, what we're saying is, if not now, when? If you don't start sometime, and now's that best time, we have the way of talking ourselves out of it forever. So if not now, when? Back to the Chosen Sermon on the Mount section. I believe that's how season two ends, and season three is getting ready to start, is Jesus doing the Sermon on the Mount. And I think there was a little more production that went on in the Chosen than actually what took place, but I don't know. I do always appreciate, especially things that really don't matter, at least having a different vision of things. However, so it's Jesus getting ready to talk and begin the Sermon on the Mount, and his mother comes to him, and she's like, are you nervous? And, you know, and and he was, you know, working on it and prepping, you know, for the message, you know, type of a thing, which I'm not necessarily sure that had to happen, but anyway, well, so he goes over, or she comes up to him as he's getting ready to go to speak to the crowds, if you've seen this part, and she says the same phrase, or she's like, are you nervous? Are you ready to do this? And they both say it to each other, if not now, then when? If not now, then when? And so what we need to do is ask that question. So we went through everything. We've prepared all of this. Do you know, kids, young adults, grown-ups, that when we get together for Sunday school and we get together for Wednesday night Bible study and we get together here on Sunday morning, even though the main thrust of that is for us to meet around the Lord's table, that still all that teaching and all that preaching is going for preparing us for something. For the little ones, it's to prepare to grow up and know those Bible stories. And to understand those things. For those that are older, to know when you know you need Jesus in your life. And for those that are older and continue to grow, how we continue to mature in Jesus Christ. Because if we don't begin and start to do that sometime, if we don't do it now, then when? You know, I've had teaching opportunities through years where I've had mothers say, you know, I don't know anything about the Bible. And they got little kids, and I'll be like, this is a great opportunity for you because you can read and teach your kids and learn right along with them. Because the kids need to hear it, and there's no doubt that we need to hear it. And so then I ask you, so then what do you do with it? What do we do with it? Why put off becoming a Christian? One reason I've never had anybody raise their hand and say is, well, I think I'm too righteous. Right? I'm too righteous. I don't know that I've ever sinned. Right? No. You know what really keeps many people is, you know what? I'm not good enough to be saved. Well, as we went through the Sermon on the Mount before, that's the very first point, is realizing our spiritual bankruptcy. Realizing that without Jesus, you are lost. Realizing that without obedience to Him, you are sunk. That's what people say when they want to get heartfelt and honest. I've never had anybody, maybe you have, those that have taught people that say, you know, I'm too righteous, I've never sinned. So I ask you, so if not now, then when? I'm going to wait till youth camp. You know what? That's great. We love having baptisms at youth camp. However, that's a long way off. A lot of things could happen. We'd much rather have you become a Christian today and go to camp and say, I became a Christian. I became a Christian. But if not now, then when? Romans 3:23, the Apostle Paul says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Coop touched on this morning when he talked about all authority. How much does all mean to you, Coop? All, right? When it says all have sinned, right? And fallen short of the glory of God. So if you're here and you're thinking you've got it made, you're too righteous, you haven't sinned, I'm here to let you know the Scripture says you have. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The Father says, listen to him. Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. And so as we look at this, it's just that simple question again. This baptistry, we'll get it ready. Before we leave here today, there's not a mom here or anybody that's got a special dinner waiting or whatever, however it's working, that won't be excited to wait. if you decide that now is the time. So if you're here and you're outside of Jesus Christ, then I have to ask you, you want to become a Christian? If not now, then when? There's always a lot of prep that goes into it. There's been a lot of prep that goes into you becoming a Christian. But don't wait forever. Eventually, you have to obey, or it becomes a point of disobedience. If not now, when? Are you willing to believe in Jesus? That he's the Son of God? Listen to him. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And do your best to live faithfully for him. What he says, do. The Father says, listen to him. Jesus says, follow me. Do what I command you to do, and you'll be my friend. Scripture says, all need to follow him. All need to be obedient. Not everyone will. But won't it be wonderful to follow Jesus, to become a Christian, to be obedient to him now instead of when? Will you stand as he leads us in our song of invitation?